Well, it happened again. Celtics blew another game. Same old script, same old thing. This time to the New York Knicks. What are they missing? I've got the answer. And no, still not time to blow it up. Right now on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Be ever ready. Recognize the city of champs. Boston, baby, we do what you can't. Locked on number 18, Tatum and Brown, J team, step back. We gon' wet that and slay teams. Of course the Celtics, who else could it be? Screaming like KG with the Larry O'B. Corrales above average, assessing the team status. Best daily pod, no cap, salary matching. Clutch like Bird the DJ, keep John on replay. Prime time, dapping up the truth on the sideline. Rain and J's how it started, raising banners, how we finished. Locked on Celtics, pod, home of the winners. A thank you for making Locked On Celtics part of your daily routine and your first listen every day. Remember, Locked On Celtics is free and it's available everywhere podcasts exist, including YouTube. Watch the show on YouTube. Why don't you? And every episode, if you've missed one, is at LockedOnCeltics.com. I'm John Corrales. I cover the team for Boston Sports Journal, and I've written a book called The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, available everywhere books are sold. An appropriate book for the 75th anniversary as they prepare to name the 75th anniversary team. I was a voter on that, so very happy to contribute to that piece of Celtics history. Buy the book everywhere books are sold. You can even get them on my website, johncorrales.com. $30 for an inscribed, personalized, signed copy. Boston Celtics lose. I can only laugh at this point. I was laughing as RJ Barrett's game-winning three banked in because of course it did. Because of course it did. As the Celtics lose 108-105 to the New York Knicks, a game in which they held a 25-point lead and a 20-point third-quarter lead, of course they lost that game in heartbreaking fashion. Because this is what the Celtics do. This is who they are. They are just horrible in the clutch, down the stretch, all of the fourth quarter. They are the least reliable team in the league. I literally will trust almost any other team except for the Houston Rockets and the Detroit Pistons and maybe the Oklahoma City Thunder to close out a game. The Celtics cannot close out games. They'll do it occasionally, but they are just in, I don't know, crisis? Is that the right term? Are they, whatever. Celtics lose 108-105. Let's run through the box score real quick because Jason Tatum had a good game. 36 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds, 2 steals, a block, shot 57%, 54.5% from 3, went to the line 6 times, hit all 6. Great game for Jason Tatum. He was the only guy down the stretch really that did anything. Fourth quarter, two Celtics scored in the fourth quarter, and one of them was not Jaylen Brown. So how's that for you? It was also not Dennis Schroeder, nor was it Josh Richardson or Grant Williams. It was Marcus Smart, who had 8 points. Jason Tatum had 13. Celtics scored 21 in the fourth quarter. They gave up 31 to the Knicks in the fourth quarter. They were outscored 61-42 in the second half. Brutal. They had a lead as high as 25. They had 12 turnovers. Okay, not a big deal. Like the fast break points. The Celtics continue to do the same old things, which is they can't secure rebounds. They give New York second chances. They give them, they don't get any of the 50-50 balls. They just don't have that fight. I'll talk about more of that, what the Celtics need, that fight, that inner fire, next in the second segment. That's coming up in the second segment. Later on in the third segment, by the way, my mailbag email address, so on johncorrales.com, I have a mailbag link. People crushed that link as soon as the Knicks beat the Celtics. It's like as soon as that buzzer beater went in, people went to that link and were like hammering me with questions. And almost all of them were, is it time to blow this thing up? It's kind of wild. But let's do this. Tatum was good. Robert Williams was good. Robert Williams, I think, was actually the most important player in this game in a lot of ways because it was his defense, 7 block shots, 2 steals, to go along with 9 rebounds, only 6 points. They need to involve him more in the offense. But his defense for a long stretch was really what kept the Knicks from making this move earlier. Like the third quarter when the Celtics got their lead up to 20, it was mostly because that Robert Williams was preventing the Knicks from making their run sooner in the third quarter. It was about midway through the third quarter when the Celtics got it back up to 20, and then 4 or 5 minutes to go, everything went downhill. So it was Rob that kept the Knicks kind of at bay. Bad performances. Al Horford can't hit a three to save his life anymore. He's shooting less than 20% so far in January. He's shooting 20-something percent since December. So Al Horford is becoming, like, falling back down to earth, and that's going to pose some serious questions here. Jaylen Brown was okay early on, but fourth quarter, non-existent. Took one shot. Never mind didn't score a point. Took only one shot in the fourth quarter. Now, he sat for a portion of the fourth quarter. And there were so many questions going on with the collapse and leadership and all of that stuff that didn't get into the Jaylen Brown, why he sat so much in the fourth quarter. He either looked gas, he looked glassy-eyed, he looked, something was up. He was just not himself. That Jaylen Brown is, we've seen him before. It's like he was focused on something else. That was not good. Jaylen Brown, not a great game here. Marcus Smart, not a great game, although not too bad. But I think especially down the stretch, he scored 8 points down the stretch. Let's just get back into this, because this was part of my whole thing yesterday. If you missed yesterday's podcast, go back and listen to my rant. Time to get rid of Schroeder. I'm done with Schroeder. He's not as helpful as he used to be, as I knock my camera. I'm gesturing so much that I knocked my camera askew on YouTube. I'm done. I'm done with Schroeder, and I'm done with the Smart Schroeder down the stretch lineups. I cannot understand why you run Smart and Schroeder together. Okay, let me backtrack on that. I get that you want to play Smart a certain amount of minutes. I agree with that. I want to play Smart a certain amount of minutes. Schroeder, you want to play him a certain amount of minutes. You want to keep him a little happy. You don't want him to be disruptive or anything like that, or even face that possibility. I get it. So there's going to have to be some overlap. Make that overlap earlier in the game, I guess. Don't make it in the fourth quarter. Don't make it down the stretch. Because what we saw down the stretch was Jason Tatum handling the ball, Smart on one side, Schroeder setting up in a corner, and Rob and Al Horford, or Jaylen Brown and Rob in there. And if you're going to have two point guards on the floor, I don't understand why you run a play. And afterwards, Ime explained it. I asked him about it, and he explained, very long explanation. I tweeted it out. Basically said we're running a set where Jason handles it, and we slip out and play on the second side. And if we don't have anything with the guy in the corner, we get it back to JT. But it never really got back to JT. Tatum was handling it. He'd spin, double team, sometimes triple team. You kick it out, and it was often a kick out to Marcus Smart, which, because Schroeder's on the floor, Smart was the shooter above the break. That's not where we want Marcus Smart. We don't want Marcus Smart above the break. I'm sick of saying this. Marcus Smart as a starting point guard is good. I like Marcus Smart as a starting point guard. He can handle that job. He can run an offense. And when he gives it up and he goes and hangs out in the corner, it's okay. I don't mind him taking a corner three every once in a while. But Smart as the point guard, when Schroeder is occupying a corner, I put it on Boston Sports Journal at the end of my game report. Smart, when you've got Schroeder in the corner and Smart's up top, Smart's just going to catch and shoot that. Now, there were a couple of times, and this plays into why I don't think Smart had the best game. There were a couple of times where he should have swung it back to Tatum, back over to Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown was wide open, wide open, and Smart missed him twice. But the whole thing is, and I've said this before on this podcast a million times, you play Smart at the two, you play him at the point guard, he's going to have that mentality, he's going to be shooting a lot, he's going to be looking more for his shot. As the point guard, as a starting point guard, he feels that need to organize, and he gets into that mindset. He should be on the floor, not just for his defensive abilities, but for his organizational abilities. Take Schroeder off the floor, then Smart's in the corner. That shooter is the guy who's catching the ball. Not only is he catching the ball, you're not helping as far off of that guy as the defender was off of Marcus Smart. So Jason Tatum has more of a lane to drive. It opens up more things. I don't understand why they play Smart and Schroeder down the stretch. It sucks. Stop doing it. Schroeder down the stretch only in certain situations, right? We saw it work against Washington, I think it was. But even that, they lost the game. It worked in certain situations where you can spread and you can't stop a pick and roll with him and Horford. Okay, I get that. Certain situations. But if you're not going to do that, then don't bother. Sit him down. Christ, have the guts to just sit him down and be like, no, we're putting Josh Richardson out there. Because at least Richardson's shooting 39%, I think, from three. And he's a taller defender and a better defender. And a guy who can at least get into the middle a little bit better, I guess. I don't know. He's not quite as good a ball handler. But just Schroeder is absolutely wrong down the stretch. He makes defensive mistakes. He knocked guys out of their position. It shouldn't have been like that. I can't take it anymore. Because you put Marcus Smart in a bad situation. And that puts other guys in a bad situation. Puts Tatum in a bad situation because he takes away his driving lanes. And if he had a lane to the basket, who knows what happens next? Maybe there's a Jaylen Brown kick out in the corner. Or maybe there's a lob to Robert Williams available because those guys have to step up because Tatum has gotten into the middle of the defense. But no, you want to sit there and say, hey, it's almost like you want to encourage Tatum to give up the ball because you're saying, hey, he's going to draw three guys. When he draws three guys, then we have this advantage. But you don't. You don't, because one of those guys is Schroeder and the other guy is Marcus Smart, who's now your shooting guard, and you don't want Marcus Smart shooting. You take away whatever advantage you create by making those two guys, Schroeder and Smart, your other options. Put the shooter out there, and then let's just create the lane for Jason to drive or Jalen to drive. Spread the floor out. Let them drive and have the defense react to them in the middle of the paint rather than willingly saying, yeah, we'll draw two and three and we'll have them kick out. And we'll play 4-on-3 because 4-on-3 basketball is better. It's not working. Okay, that was nice and calm. Up next, what the Celtics really need, what they really need here on this team. Today's show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is a cool game that if you go to prizepicks.com or you download the Prize Picks apps, basically you can pick a few different guys. They have over-under set for each guy, and you can pick the over, you pick 2, 3, 4, or 5 players. You pick the over on one, you pick the under on another, you can go different sports. I'm looking at the NBA one, then you can kind of click on one of there and go to the NFL and say, okay, I'm going to go and pick Jason Tatum's over under here. And then let's see, oh, Patrick Mahomes, over under passing yards, 26.5. Okay. DeJounte Murray's points, 19.5. Joel Embiid's points, 29.5. Over under. Giannis's points, 30.5. You can combine, you can mix it up. So Prize Picks, super cool game. I would recommend you checking it out. And if you use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA, or I'm sorry, promo code is NBA, just NBA on this one, you're going to get a 100% instant match on a deposit up to $100. So deposit $100, you get $100. Promo code is NBA, NBA. So check them out, prizepicks.com, download the app. Super cool game that is better than any other daily fantasy prop game that's on the market. More NBA props than any other DFS prop operator. It offers all the star players plus bench players, the ones that are only recording a handful of minutes. They also have assists, rebounds, threes made, all this other stuff. So promo code NBA, prizepicks.com. Check them out. Shopify is going to help you run your business unlike anybody else can help you run your business. Because look, if you're doing stuff online, I know I have expectations. I'm going to go to certain sites and I want all of them to look the same. I want them all to help to take my credit cards. I want them all to connect to my social media when I want them to. I want them all to be able to kind of communicate the same way. And when you're running a small business, you don't have the same infrastructure as everybody else, unless you get Shopify. Shopify can help level that playing field. It gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for those big businesses. So upstarts, startups, established businesses alike can sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales effortlessly. I always have trouble with that word. Stay informed. And so basically Shopify powers millions of businesses across the web. It's more than a store. Shopify grows with you. Check them out. Shopify.com/LockedOnNBA. This is where I got my promo codes mixed up. Shopify.com/LockedOnNBA. You get a free 14-day trial. If you're starting a business online, check them out because it's going to really, really help you out. You get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Shopify.com/LockedOnNBA. Shopify.com/LockedOnNBA.
Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify.
Hey, thanks for making Locked On Celtics your first listen every day. Why not make Locked On Now your second listen? Basically, it's a recap of the entire night in the NBA. Locked On Now has perspectives from each side. So for Locked On Now, there's a two-minute video for me and two-minute video from Locked On Knicks. And you get both sides of the game from each game on Locked On Now. Check it out. It's worth it. Locked On Now, wherever you get your podcasts, and on the Locked On NBA YouTube channel. After the game, Ime Udoka basically, he kind of tore into his team a little bit, and he said, you know, we need leadership. We need a leader out there. Either somebody, we're going to be sick of this, or it's going to keep happening. So he's putting it squarely on the shoulders of the team. These are the players. I get it. He's making it so the players take it upon themselves to have the pride to get out there and stop this. There's only so much a coach can do. Now, one of the things he can do is put the proper lineups out there, which I just discussed, calmly and rationally. But, and side note, I get so like worked up about that stuff because it doesn't make sense to me basketball wise. It's not that I'm pissed off. I just don't buy the excuse. Anyway, the Celtics, what they're missing, as Ime says, this, the leader. But okay, you have Tatum, you have Brown. What's with these guys? What's the missing element here? What's the missing piece? And I wrote this on Boston Sports Journal. You can go read it. What they're missing is they're missing an asshole. They're missing a leader that's also a bit of an asshole. I hate to say it that way because it flies in the face of societal norms, but sports, pro sports, are kind of primitive. And there's this, a team is sort of tribal. There's a leader. There are people who do jobs. And if everybody does their job, and if the leader leads, then everybody's going to eat, everybody's going to sleep well, they're going to be safe. Like, it's very simple. There is a fierce loyalty to each other, and you follow, you do the followers follower, the followers follow, the leaders lead, and everybody does their job without question, and they do it well, and they do it for each other. That is a pure tribal instinct, that is pro sports instinct, that is just sports in general. There is something primal about sports. The best of the best of the best. You think about, go down the line, Larry Bird. Think about the 08 Celtics, Kevin Garnett. Bit of a prick, right? Larry Bird was a bit of an asshole. Michael Jordan, famously kind of a dick. Kobe Bryant is revered by many, as including Jason Tatum. Kind of notoriously a dick on the court. And by that I mean, it's very, very clear that he was the guy in charge, and anything that was a run by the other team, a player going off for 6 or 8 points in a row, anything like these guys took it personally, and they either lit into the other team or lit into some of their own guys and hell, maybe even a coach or two, to light a fire under these guys. Natural leaders, you know them when they walk into a room. There are some people who are just built. They walk into a room, they own the room, you can tell right away. This is a person that when this person says something, I kind of want to listen to this person. I want to follow this person. Like, I'm going to fall right in line with this person. And I look at the Celtics, and I see a bunch of great guys. Like, I really see a bunch of great guys. Like, for the most part, because I don't know everybody exactly personally, but I've gotten a good sense of people's personalities. There's, if I had a daughter, I'd feel, like, comfortable with most of these guys. Like, if she said, oh, yeah, I'm dating, like, most of any of these guys, they'd be like, okay, cool. All of these guys seem like really good guys, really good human beings, right? They're hard workers. All of these Celtics are hard workers. None of them are lazy. They're not lazy. They work their asses off. They go through film sessions. They pay attention. I know this. They know they work hard in practice. I know they work hard in the weight room. It's very obvious in some of these guys that they're putting in the work, right? They know a lot of what they're supposed to do. They have good intentions. This is not a personal thing with these guys. I think all of these Celtics are generally good human beings who are, we should be proud that they represent the city of Boston. They represent this franchise. Generally speaking, I feel like that about most of these guys. But there's not a one of them that I think walks into a room and says, follow me. Follow me, boys. You know, that whole thing. Like the Cedric Maxwell, that whole, you know, climb on my back, that whatever the actual quote is. I know there's something, but like that whole mentality of, don't worry, follow me, I got you. Look around the league. Why are the Phoenix Suns so damn good? Chris Paul. And Chris Paul is old, but he's still the point guard, right? But he's still, what he is kind of an asshole who, when the team, his own teammates, aren't doing what they're supposed to do, he's all up in their faces, making sure they fall in line. Now, you might not like it, and sometimes he crosses a line for sure, but he leads. Draymond Green, same thing. You know, even Steph has a little bit of those qualities and all of that stuff. He's certainly, he toes the line between confident and cocky, but it's Draymond who really makes that thing go. It's Draymond who's the, when somebody's not playing well, when somebody's making mistakes, it's Draymond who's in their faces, in their ears, to the point where they're like, we got to play well just so I don't want to have to hear Draymond talk. And that's a natural thing. These guys, this team doesn't have that. Where are they going to get it from? Is Tatum going to find something? Are they going to find some untapped potential in there? Are they going to find it in Jaylen Brown? Maybe. Marcus Smart kind of has it, but he's not good enough to be that guy, right? He doesn't have a big enough role, especially offensively. He's not the centerpiece of that offense. Draymond is at the center of that offense, and he's making everything go. If the Celtics are going to commit to Marcus Smart and putting him in the middle, then maybe he can grow into that. But he's not used the same way Draymond is used. Draymond is a focal point. Even though he doesn't score much and doesn't shoot well, he's the middle. He's in the middle and making sure that Steph gets his shots, and Klay, when he comes back, is going to get his shots, and Wiggins is going to get his shots, and all of that stuff. The Celtics don't have that. The Celtics don't have that engine, that guy that, hey, when the other team is making a run, the other team's pumped up a little too much, you're going to get in somebody's face. You're going to ruffle some feathers either on your own team or the other team. Celtics need an asshole, and if it's not going to come from Tatum, which it could at some point, maybe it could. Maybe he can find it within himself. If it's not going to come from Jaylen Brown, maybe it will, maybe it won't. The Celtics either have to go get one, or it's going to come from Ime Udoka, and he's going to be full Greg Popovich. I don't know where it's going to come from. I don't know if Ime can do it. I don't know if the league is even in a position for a coach to be that guy, but somebody's got to do it. They've got to find it. Up next, oh, the mailbag overfloweth. All with the same question, basically. I'm going to talk about that when I come back. Hey, it's New Year, so it's time for New Year's resolutions. And if yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, how about including Built Bar in your plan? Built Bar is the protein bar. It tastes like a candy bar, maybe even a little bit better than a candy bar, because it makes it easier to stick to your resolution. right? You get a craving, you get a Built Bar, and you're saying, oh, wow, it's just, oh, it satisfies me because, you know, tastes like a chocolate bar. But what you're getting is 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, 17 grams of protein. You get the protein that you're looking for, all right? Compare it to a candy bar, which is like twice the calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. Throw those candy bars away. Switch over to the Built Bar. That's going to satisfy your craving. It's going to help you eat better. And hey, if you go to the gym and you come back and you grab a Built Bar, it's going to give you the protein that your body is craving. Whatever flavors you want, fruity, chocolatey, coconut, minty, it's all part of Built Bar. You can have all of these different options. If you got a nut allergy, it works. It's fine. You have options. If you're on a keto diet, that's fine. Go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15. And here's the best part. Use it every single time so you don't have to go over there and feel like you're going to buy 20 boxes of something. Use it once, LOCKED15, pick out a couple of small things, then go back, use LOCKED15 again at built.com, 15% off every single time.
Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
Hey there, thanks for making Locked On Celtics your first listen every day. Why not make Locked On Bets your second listen? If you're going to throw some money down on a game, make sure you're listening to Locked On Bets first. They got great advice. Maybe they'll help you win a couple of bucks. Check them out, your boy Q, Lee Sterling with the expert advice, wherever you get your podcasts. So it was kind of funny to see email after email after email rolling into my inbox. People go to johncorrales.com/mailbag. And enter, that's how you contact me for the mailbag. And people just smash that over and over and over again after the game. So I've selected a few because they're all similar to get us going here in the final segment. Amalio says, I literally have COVID and it was the Celtics that made me sick tonight. I don't want to believe we need to get rid of Jason, Jalen, or Marcus, or Ime, but am I just being too much of a homer saying that? Can we become a contender while keeping all of them? Aaron asks, at which point would you decide that we have to blow up this team? William H. says, we have to be near the top of the league in soul-crushing losses. At what point do we say it's time to blow it up and trade Jalen and Jason? I've addressed this before, but it's a common question. It's a common refrain across the Celtics landscape right now. It is not time to trade Jalen or Jason. They're still young guys and they're still good guys. They're still good players. I honestly believe that these guys want to be the best, right? I don't think either of these guys is blasé and said like some, there are accusations that are thrown around out there that say, oh, these guys don't care or this and that. They don't give, you know, whatever. I don't think that's the case. I think they do care. And I think it's beyond the, they only care if they do it their way. Now they may not fully understand how to do it a different way. And to Ime Udoka's point, there are deep, deep habits that need to change. But like I said, there is also some level of this team needs to have one, well, it doesn't even have to be one leader, but there has to be a guy, a top dog. I hate to use the term alpha, but there does need to be somebody out there that has some level of that quality that kind of helps this team and can take over in those spots. It doesn't even have to be one of their top guys. You can keep the talent, Jalen and Jason, and if neither of those guys rises up to it, then either you readjust to change the roles on the team as currently stated and you keep Marcus Smart and you have him in that Draymond role a little bit more featured, or you try to find it. And so I don't think that blowing it up is the answer, because mostly it boils down to this. Who are you getting for these guys? Like, who are you getting, right? You're blowing it up. You're starting all the way down, like at the bottom. And you're completely gutting the team. And I don't think there's going to be that level of patience. People think, like, they say blow it up, but you don't really, really want to go through the rebuild, because then it's always just going to be a question. And I'm not saying this about any of the people who are saying, you know, who asked me the question. I think there are stronger voices out there that say, you need to blow it up and blah, blah, blah. And I think those people are just going to be mad. There's just going to be a segment of people who are just mad no matter what. And they're going to say, oh, you need to blow it up. And when they do, they're going to be like, no, not like this. You know, and people are unrealistic. I get tweets and messages all the time about completely unrealistic deals. And then people get mad that the unrealistic deal didn't happen. And that just doesn't, you know, that's just being mad online. So I think the league is desperate for the level of talent that you have in Tatum and Brown. And unless you're upgrading, like, I'm not opposed to trading my Jalen or Jason, but for an upgrade, right? Like, if you trade Jalen Brown, that's part of a deal to get, you know, Giannis in, right? If Giannis says, I'm done with Milwaukee, for some reason, someone looked at him funny, and he's like, okay, I'm done with Milwaukee now. Trade me somewhere. Trade me to Boston. Then you say, okay, yeah, what do you want? Jalen Brown, Marcus Smart, how many picks? Every pick? You want young guys? Like, all of it is, you know, to, yes, any of them, absolutely. And then even if you want to trade Jason Tatum and keep Jalen Brown and have him pair with Giannis, whatever. Like, Giannis is very much above those two guys. So, yeah, no problem. That's the deal, right? And that's not happening. They're not trading him for Giannis. I wouldn't even trade those guys for Kevin Durant right now, because you only got a year or two, and who knows when that's going to, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think that now a 25 and a 24, 3-year-old, whatever Jason is, you don't just give up on those right away. You retool around them. Maybe Marcus is gone in a trade at some point. If you're not going to use him the right way, then you might as well get something of value for him, and then maybe he goes somewhere where he's used the right way. And that changes things a little bit. But, and especially not Ime. Like, geez, let Ime, come on. It's only been a few months. Like, we're only in January. Yes, he's making mistakes. I just ranted and raved about the first segment about mistakes. Lineups and all that stuff, that all comes with the territory. Like, let him make some mistakes. I think he's got the right attitude. Most importantly, I think he's got a great attitude that I think resonates with the guys. It's a battle, and he called it a battle. I think he's got the right chops. And maybe he is the equivalent of, maybe he's even the equivalent of a Jason Tatum right now, or a Jalen Brown right now, or from a year or two ago. Like, maybe that's where he is as a coach. I don't think he's in over his head. I think he's making some real mistakes, but I'm willing to let him figure that out, because he's just got the right attitude, I think, for the job. And I think he's got the right work ethic for the job. So as much as we're all frustrated, and as much as the volume of my voice was much higher in the first two segments, still time for patience. Let these guys work through it. These are two guys the entire league will line up for if they go on the trade market, which will tell you that if the entire league is, like, circling and wondering if any of them will come available, that you probably have some real special guys there. Just try to make it work in a different way. And there will be trades. Things will happen. Something's going to happen. Trust me. Trade deadline's a few weeks away. Something's going to happen. We'll wait and we'll see how it goes. In the meantime, I will be here podcasting. Hopefully, this team will figure something out and they will get better. In the meantime, you can subscribe to the show, and I will try to treat the season appropriately. Rant when I have to, be level-headed when I have to, but try to treat things appropriately and not just be reactive to everything. I am not going to be the guy who screams trade everybody when they lose and then loves everybody when they win. That's fine if somebody else wants to do it. That's not me. I'm going to try to keep it real with everybody no matter what. So please subscribe if you're watching the show on YouTube. Thank you. Appreciate it. If you are a subscriber, I would love for you to share the podcast, tell your friends, tell your family, tell everybody. They should be listening to and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.